Science. Science. Science.
And with that incredible intro, here we go once again. Twist, as the cool kids are saying, this week in Science Today. Jesse Hawley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Adrian.
What's making news in the science world, mate?
Plenty. I've got two stories coming up for you.
I want to hear both of them.
Just as well. We got one on antimicrobial surfaces and also...
What now?
You know, Dettol, wax counts.
Oh, right, okay.
Those metallic benches they have at vets where the dogs are always skating and losing their mind. And then a second story on group wisdom.
Right.
And it's not an oxymoron. So the first one about antimicrobial surfaces is research conducted by an Australian and Nigerian team. The paper itself caught my eye. It's called The Bactericidal Effects of Natural Nanotopography of Dragonfly Wings on E. coli.
What?
So you got a whole bunch of stuff there. You got dragonfly
wings.
There's
a lot to take in.
E. coli, nanotopography, and bactericidal.
Wow.
So... antimicrobials are a hot topic of research, obviously, you know.
It's big business, the sort of germaphobe. You see a lot of, kills 99% of germs.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of that in a lot of...
They found out kind of recently that I think soap is just as good as a lot of the antimicrobials, which is a shame. And one of them, triclosan, is an antimicrobial. And that goes into the water stream and messes with the gender and...
Oh, wow.
...of the fish.
Oh,
messes
wow.
...with the hormones. So your Listerine, it's not Listerine, it's another mouthwash, turns
wow.
out men fish into women fish.
There you go.
Bet you didn't think that when you're gargling.
No, I didn't.
Well, I do.
All right, so back on the topic.
So antimicrobials aren't just in the form of pumps and wipes.
Yep.
There's also new research looking into making surfaces antimicrobial. And by antimicrobial, it means its nature kills microbes.
Oh, okay. So it's not, I was thinking something so smooth... that no bacteria could cling onto
it. Slipping.
It slips off.
How embarrassing. Ah! Help me. Well, it's the opposite.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So
shows what I know.
They've known that insect wings have these nanostructures that are like pins that are so prickly, they thought that bacteria lands on a dragonfly wing and just gets pricked.
And dies.
And dies. They call it the bed of nails hypothesis.
Wow. That's amazing that something so small and so just an insect they're now designing.
And wow. The wings already are magnificent of dragonflies, let alone having this horrendous death pit on them. So that was the idea that you got all these structures, like a bed of nails is a good picture. The bacteria get on there and the bacteria full of liquids and they've got this membrane and it, like, punctures it like in a balloon and then they spill their guts everywhere. But... upon looking closer at the nanotopography of dragonflies and their wings, they found that the topography isn't all the same size, mm-hmm. but rather they vary a lot. So you've got really high bumply ones, and they're not even that sharp.
Oh.
It's like a Looney Tunes background of the Wile E. Coyote.
I'm thinking acoustic paneling. That's just me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking acoustic paneling.
Yeah, it's like that, but there are some big ones. Yeah. Some are really rounded.
Yeah, right.
And then small ones. And what they observed was the bacteria, they don't actually touch at any point these little structures.
Oh, hello.
The bacteria...
Twist.
That's what it's called.
Hey.
The bacteria are covered in this film called extracellular polymeric substance. It's like made of sugars and proteins, and it's kind of like snot. And that's how they make their way around the environment. You know, like... in your sink or in drains, you form like a coloured film.
Yeah, especially at my place, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's bacteria and other organisms like ganging together, holding each other's hands and doing like a little camp out your drain. So when you wipe that away, and that's also what's on your teeth, the biofilm.
Yep.
So they're bound together with this extracellular membrane. So that's what actually contacts the antimicrobial dragonfly surface. So the bacteria don't actually come into contact and it's not puncturing them at all. They got this gloop connecting them.
Yeah.
So how they actually die is their gloop gets attached to these funny structures, and as they roll forward moving their way along, their gloop is so struck to them that it just, like, as they're trying to stretch, rips them.
Oh.
I was recently traveling and I was on a train. I had like a map and I put it in my lips to hold, and I was holding another map, And I went to pull the map out of my lip.
Yep.
And I'm like, this could hurt.
Yep.
But it's never happened in 26 years. It's going to be fine. I literally thought that. And yeah, I pulled it anyway. And I ripped, like, my bottom lip. I looked at the pamphlet, and you could see, like, a little smile. And it just started bleeding profusely. So that's what happened to the bacteria on this antimicrobial surface.
Okay.
So they're crawling along, and this is, they used E. coli, and it's, like, beautifully antimicrobial. It does a great job.
That's incredible.
So going forward, their research, they have to test other type of bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
E. coli is only certain, the gram negative. They have to test the gram positive. And they also have to test it with bacteria that don't produce so much of the gloop. So the gloop is the element that does the job.
Right. So they're looking at recreating this gloop and then putting that on surfaces or?
No, recreating the little nano.
Okay.
So they've actually done it successfully with their previous idea of how it worked with them all at the same height with the bed of nails. And that worked a treat. So now they can make it work even better.
But then can you still rest your arms on it to work or rest a bit of paper on there to write on it or?
It's nano. And it is so, they're so perfectly done that you can grow human cells. They actually used a monkey of some variety. They grew monkey cells, and they're big enough and healthy enough and complex enough that they can just grow like it's a normal surface like you and
yeah,
I.
Wow.
We're on the scale where we don't interact with it at that nano level.
Okay.
Bacteria is so small they can literally fall on the gut.
Right.
It's the same phenomenon with insects getting stuck on the surface of water or something. We just don't have to worry with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Now, group wisdom. Let's talk about group wisdom.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I just thought you were talking
about
something
else.
Huh? Yeah, I'm on top of it. Don't even have individual wisdom. So group wisdom can go either way. It can be like a very powerful... You'd imagine maybe intuitively that having many heads would be better than one.
Mm-hmm.
But...
So goes the old saying.
As we observe on a daily basis, the masses, they know about the popular opinion. They know about what they've got ideas about what other people might think, but they're not necessarily related to the correct answer.
Yeah.
So research from Princeton University and MIT found out how to actually nut down and channel the wisdom from the crowds.
Ah.
Research was published in Nature, a very prestigious journal. So normally with a poll or something or a survey, you get everyone to answer the question and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then those answers are reflective of what the people think and not necessarily what's going to happen or what's correct.
Mm-hmm.
What they found is you chuck in another question. So instead of asking, I thought of this as like a little piece of trivia. You know, any vegetating body with seeds is a fruit. So like avocado, cucumber, pumpkin, they're fruits.
Yep.
If you were to ask somebody, like just to the general masses, is a pumpkin a fruit? They'd probably say no.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just asking them that, the researchers found if you chuck in the other question, what will other people say if I ask them if the pumpkin a fruit? And the people who don't know, i.e. who will say, no, it's not, they'll say, oh, everybody will say it's not. If you ask the botanist or the person who's got a penchant for trivial trivia.
Bits of knowledge like that, yeah.
Yeah. They will say, well, it is a fruit. But if you ask a general person, they will say no.
They'll say no.
So you've got the expectation of what people will say, which is 100% will say no.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got actually what people say, which is maybe say 90% will say no. That 10% is what's called the surprisingly popular outcome. And that's what this algorithm's called. It's called the surprisingly popular algorithm.
There you go. So there's basically you're banking on 10% of the population knowing the right answer to whatever question you're asking, but them also knowing the difference between what the average Joe, i.e. the schmuck here behind the microphone, pointing at myself, what I will say.
Yeah, exactly. It's a way of filtering out what everyone else thinks. So, yeah, again, popular opinion isn't necessarily correct, but the popular opinion knows what the popular opinion is, and those with the answers can somehow filter that out by also knowing what the popular opinion is. Trying to think of some more applications. The same could be said for art. They're actually trying to use this algorithm to evaluate and put a price on certain artworks with playing off the expectation of people. So, I don't know, you might say, do I think Avatar was like a very special film? I might say, no, not personally.
Yep.
And then do I think others will say, maybe the average show will say yes. And then they can see what the actual answers are, and they can negate that out and say, yeah.
There you go. That is incredible.
Yeah,
it's
interesting
a twist on the way of thinking. I dare say that's probably got a place in politics and stuff like that as well.
Oh, it certainly does.
Yeah. Well, Jesse Hawley from the CSIRO, thank you so much, mate. We'll hear more again from you next week when we twist again.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, mate. See ya.
Bye.